Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. With the Lord's help, we'll conclude a message I've entitled Serpents of the Soul, and we were looking at a scripture found in Numbers, the 21st chapter, where it says the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And we've been looking at how the work of the enemy can prosper if we allow discouragement to set up in our souls. Sometimes it just may come as a mild weariness or tiredness of the battle, of the way, the things that we're having to encounter and deal with. But unless it's checked, it can grow into being critical and complaining, as was the case with them. And many times, the way we express our complaint is not necessarily to the Lord, but to others. And so we know from Scripture that there's a comparison between serpents and fire and the tongue. James 3:6 says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. In Psalm 140 and 3, David said they've sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. And so what God did, He sent fiery serpents among them. It was a prophetic description of what they had done spiritually, if you will. And as I summarize the thoughts that I want you to lay hold of, I would say really the central issue here is a lack of faith. And, you know, we're told in the Word of God to keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we're to lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us. That's a sin of unbelief. We, just like the disciples who were present in the very physical presence of Jesus, who had seen His miracles, unbelief was just, it's a part of our fallen nature, and God wants us to replace that tendency to doubt, the ability to doubt, with faith in Him. And many times our response to the circumstances in our lives affects our relationship with the Lord, or is a demonstration of our relationship with the Lord. In Psalm 78, verses 40 through 41, this is a very touching scripture, but it says, referring to Israel, how oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. That sounds terrible, but that's exactly what we can do when we get in a hard place. I mean, the wilderness place was certainly not a very pleasant place, but they were only there because they had disobeyed God, and they were there because of unbelief. Remember, they believed the bad report of the 10 spies, and God said, all right, you said your children are going to die in this wilderness. That's going to happen to you, but your children will go into the promised land. And in Jesus' great temptations in the wilderness after His 40-day fast, do you remember what Satan said to Him? This is recorded in Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse 6. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from the pinnacle of the temple. And Jesus responded by quoting Deuteronomy 6:16, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God. Amen. And that actually goes on to say, as you tempted Him in Massa, that Hebrew word nekah means to test, to prove, or to try. And then in Exodus, the 17th chapter, in verse 6, let me turn there, it says, This is the Lord speaking. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Sometimes we can get in that same place of feeling, well, if God's with me, why is all this happening to us? Remember, that was the exact reply that Gideon gave to the angel of the Lord. You know, if God, oh, the almighty man of valor, if God's with us, then why are all these things happening to us? And again, it was a result of disobedience, rebellion, and in many cases, God will use afflictions to bring us back to Him. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, let's go to the New Testament. For some of you who need the validation of the New Testament, the covenant which we are now in, verse 5, the word of the Lord tells us, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. To chasten is to correct by punishment or suffering, discipline. And so it goes on to say, no chastening for the present is pleasant, but grievous. But afterward, it brings forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And so God knows just what we need, and he will correct us by punishment or suffering. I mean, that's what chasten means in English. And so God will do that because he loves us so much. He doesn't bring hurt or sorrow in our lives just to see us suffer. That's the last thing. He's a good God. He's a loving God. It's the goodness of the Lord that leads to repentance. And so, beloved, when we go through difficult times, we have to understand that God is in control. First of all, we have to rebuke the work of the enemy. And we have to, however God speaks to our heart, we do it with the word of God, just as Jesus did in the wilderness. And we pray, we beseech the Lord. We pray fervently, effectively, effectually. And then we do all that we were clothed with the full armor of God. We use the sword of the Spirit, the offensive word of God. We use the shield of faith. And yet, if nothing happens at that time, we have further orders, having done all, stand. Some of you may be in that position of standing. In fact, right now, Father, for those who are standing, I release the very strength of the Lord. I release grace. Father, we want to understand. We want to know why we're going through difficulties or situations. And Father, if it's a result of sin, Holy Spirit, please quicken it to us so that we can acknowledge it as David did, and we can repent of it as David did. He didn't, he was miserable when he hid his sin, but when he confessed it, that beautiful Psalm 51, then you could restore the joy of our salvation. And so, Father, if anyone has knowingly, if there's sin, Father, we repent of that and we turn to you and we thank you, Lord, for your love that continually draws us back. Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have to understand that God has a purpose in everything that happens to us. And there are times we may not have an answer. We may not have understanding. We may even go through this life. There's some things that we may not understand. God will reveal it to us, perhaps only when we stand before Him. But what are we going to do? What is the whole issue? Trust and faith in God. It is the central issue in all the testings and trials we go through is knowing that the devil might say, God doesn't love you. If he did, you wouldn't go through this. There's sin in your life. Otherwise, you wouldn't be experiencing this. Well, if you know there's no sin, if you know that you're doing all you can to serve the Lord, then you stand in faith and you trust God. Elihu, at the end of the book of Job, spoke to Job. Yes, Job did not understand the fact that God was being vindicated before Satan in the courts of heaven, that he did have a man. No matter what happened, he would serve and love him. Even though God slay me, Job said, yet will I trust him. But Elijah counsels him. He says, take heed, Job, turn not to iniquity, for this, the iniquity of complaining against God, you have chosen rather than submission in affliction. Now, we know from Jeremiah, it's okay to complain to God, but to complain against God, well, basically, that's not a willingness to submit to whatever God has for us. Jesus submitted to the will of God and endured great suffering, great contradiction of sinners against him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, because he was being obedient to the Father's will. You know, we want the glory and the power of Jesus' resurrection. We're not willing to partake of the sufferings, and that is to laying down our will and to stand our ground and to stand fast in the promises of God, knowing that he will deliver us. Praise God. Father, I pray you will do that for all that are listening. You will give them victory in the battles they face. Praise God. And as I bring this broadcast to a close, I always invite those who are listening to write and share your prayer needs. This is a personal ministry of prayer and correspondence, and I will share back with you whatever God gives. As there's just a few moments, I want to share just a few testimonies. A sister writing from Nantica. Dear Sister Judith, thank you for giving us the word through the power of the Holy Spirit. It keeps us encouraged and keeping on. Love you, your sister in the risen Christ. And then there is another letter from a sister writing from Citrus Heights. Thank you so much for the sweet card. It came on my birthday. It was such a blessing. Then came my sweet little note and pen, which you wrote on my birthday. I loved all of these special blessings from you and the Lord. I feel especially blessed as I know for sure that God put you in my life when I was going through a very difficult time 23 years ago. And to this day, he speaks through you to me and many others in your very special letters and ministry. Thank you so much for all you are and do in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. God bless you always. Love in him. A sister writing from Citrus Heights. I invite you to share requests. Be blessed by this ministry God has given, not only through the broadcast, but through the ministry of correspondence. And also, feel free to write and encourage my heart. I love hearing from you. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's richest blessings forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,